Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek, and we are a campus of Revive Wesleyan. Our mission is to pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit. And at the core of all of that is our values. And so we've been going over our values, the seven values that we've identified over the course of the past few weeks, and we're down to our final two today, and we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. And every once in a while, as I'm worshiping and as I'm sitting here and as I'm just experiencing God move along with all of you, I'm just reminded of how blessed I am to be a part of this congregation. So just thank you for that, and I hope you feel the same way. We're going to kind of talk about a little bit of that in a bit anyway, but kind of going right into what we're talking about, I've been on staff here about almost 20 years now, which is kind of crazy to think. And I started attending the church in 2001, about 22 years ago. And I started attending the church. I moved out here because my friend lived here, and you know, we did some stuff together and started a ministry together. But I started attending here in 2001. I ended up meeting my wife out here. And it's just been really amazing along the way. But one of the moments that I remember in those early years was walking into a Wednesday night meal we used to have. And some of you probably remember that, probably want us to bring it back. I understand, I get it, but it's complicated. So anyway, we do the Tuesday night thing right now, right? And so the Tuesday night thing at McKinley, we do sort of, it was sort of what that was, but there was a meal associated with it as well. So I walked in and I really didn't know anybody. I knew the friend that I was with and, he wasn't there with me though. So I sort of felt kind of alone and just wasn't really sure. And I remember one couple reached out to me and said, hey, come join us, sit with us. And so I got to talk with them and get to know them a little bit. And in that moment, I felt received. I felt welcomed. I felt seen. I felt like somebody was paying attention to me. And it was really an instrumental moment in my life here at Revive, then the Wesleyan Church of Hamburg. And it's incredible. And so maybe some of you know this couple I'm actually referring to. It's Wes and Ann Vandewater. I don't know. How many in here know them? Right? Okay, so there's a few in here that have been around long enough to know them. They're still around. They attend the Bayview and McKinley campuses, and it's amazing. But we still have conversations today about that first moment. We're like, I remember watching you come in through the doors as this young little kid. And I mean, I was out of college, but I still, to them, I was this kid. And it was amazing. And it was that moment of interaction that I can like really pinpoint as like solidifying my time here, and has been 20 years since, 22 years since. And like I just mentioned at the beginning, I feel like I'm just so blessed to be where I'm at, and it's incredible. So all that to say is they displayed to me the simple act of hospitality. They welcomed me, they saw me, they smiled, they got to know my name. Interestingly enough, we're doing Name Tag Sunday today. This isn't something we're going to do every week, but about once a quarter, we're going to try and do this. And you know, you and I have all been in the situation where you've introduced yourself to somebody, and then it was great, and then a few weeks later, you forgot their names, but you know you should probably ask again, but you're too embarrassed to. This prevents that. That solves that. So just if you wear name tags, you can get their name without having to ask them again. It's great. I use it as a trick all the time. Maybe that sounds bad because I don't remember your names and I'm admitting it now, but it's true. Sometimes that happens. Anyway, so we're going to do this once in a while just to kind of get to know one another, because literally, honestly, just knowing somebody's name is a powerful and important thing. And so we'll talk more about that as we get going. But we are talking about hospitality today. If you have your journals with you, if you go to page 67, you'll see how we at Revive describe the value of hospitality. We welcome anyone into our church, homes, and hearts. It's that simple. We welcome anyone into our church, homes, and hearts. And that may be people we don't maybe align with in certain areas, or maybe they're not what we would expect, or we wouldn't intentionally hang out with them, but we welcome anyone into our church, homes, and hearts. It doesn't mean we condone everything that everybody does, but we welcome everyone in here. And we're going to learn what that looks like through Scripture this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16. And to give you a little bit of context, if you want to go there on your phones, or if you want to go there in the Bibles behind, in the seats in front of you, or on your own Bible, again, Acts chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 6. But to give you some context, up until this point, the Church of Jesus Christ, Christianity, was only really centralized at this point in history in Asia Minor, which would be the modern-day Middle East. And it had started to make its way north, but not too much. And the Apostle Paul, who we're going to be reading about this morning, who was originally Saul and who was originally persecuting Christians, had this incredible interaction with Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus and becomes a follower of Jesus and then becomes a missionary and goes on 3 missionary journeys. And we're going to join him in the 2nd missionary journey in this passage here. But the message of Jesus Christ had not yet made it up into Europe. And so we're going to see how the acts of hospitality, being open-minded and open-hearted, helped to be the catalyst to start to spread the gospel north into Europe and beyond to where we're still talking about it today as well. So, again, let's join Paul in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And then we're going to sort of walk through this. I'll walk through this again just to kind of give you some visual imagery as to what is taking place and where. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man, a Macedonian man, standing and begging to him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave from Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, it seems pretty obvious here that Paul's plans were frustrated. He was intending and planning on going to one place, but Jesus was like, through his Spirit and through his wisdom and guidance, said no. Now, we're not given descriptive detail as to what was said or what was done or what circumstances unfolded in order to make it obvious to them not to go to the regions they wanted to go, but it was pretty clear in Scripture that it was obvious to Paul and his companions, so they redirected and rerouted. And so if we kind of highlight back through this moment in which Paul has this thing, or these revelations, you can see the map that we have up here. Gives you sort of a visual reality of what took place. So we've got Caesarea and Jerusalem down here. This is where Jesus' ministry was centered. This is where Paul would have been centered from, up in Antioch as well. And so they would have many times gone from their missionary journeys from those locations. We're in the middle of Paul's 2nd missionary journey, and we see him. And Scripture tells us they were kept from preaching by the Holy Spirit in Asia. They tried to enter Bithynia, which would be all the way up there, which is our modern-day northern Turkey, to give you some context. Now, keep in mind, they're not flying to these places. They're walking. So this is a lot of traveling. This is a long time that this would be taking. And so when all of a sudden they're told, no, you've made it this far, but you got to go this way, it would probably be pretty frustrating. And so then they continue to be told they can't go that way. They hear this, they see this vision of this Macedonian man. They go across the Aegean Sea. They end up in Philippi, which is Macedonia. You see on the very top left, which would be our modern day northern Greece. And so they were intending to go over here and they end up going over there. But through that, the gospel is spread to an entirely new region. And so this all happens because of our first point. Paul opens his heart to God. It's that simple. He had an open heart and an open mind to go where God was going to lead them. God had a new idea and a new plan, and Paul was open to something new. Not only was Paul open to a new location, but Paul was also open to a new people group. He was open to presenting the gospel, the good news, to the Macedonians. He didn't know how they were going to take it, how they were going to react, if they were going to receive him, if they were going to shun him, if they were going to send him back, if they were going to flog him, if they were going to try and murder him. They didn't know anything. But he was willing to go into a new group and a new people and a new area and do what God had been calling him to do. Oftentimes when God wants to do a new work in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces, he wants to use us to do the new work, but we have to be open-minded to his leading and his guidance and his direction through the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Paul was. Are we willing to be open to God's leading? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are we willing to make new friends and travel to new places? Now, a way that I can bring this pretty close to home for me and several people in this room, I shared this, I think, at our Cornfest service. I don't think I've shared it in much more detail with the large group setting, but was our trip to Africa we took this past summer. It was a very similar, not probably to the scale of this, but a very similar circumstance where as I was reading through this passage, as Paul's plans were frustrated, as he was trying to go here, but then God was like, no, you're going over here. That's pretty much what occurred to us the first 4 days of travel as we were heading to Africa. There's people in the room that understand what I'm talking about because they were a part of it. But let me just give you a summary of what we were supposed to do and then what happened. So we were supposed to leave from Buffalo, fly to Dallas, catch a flight from Dallas to Qatar in the Middle East, and then fly from there down to Zambia, and then drive up to the specific city we were supposed to be in. That was what was supposed to happen. What happened is we left Buffalo, and 30 minutes into our flight, the engine fails. That sounds terrifying, right? But honestly, that wasn't the biggest deal. The whole thing, all we thought when they came on the announcement was like, we're going to miss every single flight, because they had to redirect us and land us in Pittsburgh. Sure enough, we missed every single flight. 17 of us stranded in Pittsburgh in the middle of the night. Airport's shut down. It's like a ghost town. Can't find anybody. We're on the phone for 3 hours with travel agents. It was a nightmare, right? Finally, we end up getting on another flight at 1 a.m. We end up in Dallas. We've got to get to a hotel. It's chaotic. It's crazy. We're exhausted. We haven't slept. We come in contact with this travel agent or an individual that worked for the airline that was working with us. He was trying to find us information. At this point now, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning. We find out through conversation that this guy is from Zambia, in Dallas, works, and he's from Zambia. He does a bunch of stuff with us and interacts with us, and then we end up praying with him, and he prays for us. It was a beautiful moment of ministry that would not have occurred had we gone the way we had planned to go. But we were open-minded, and we had trained the team and told the team, we're on mission, we're doing this from day one when we start our meetings all the way to when we get back and beyond. And we got to implement it. We got to be open-minded to see where God was leading us. And then that morning, he had given us some taxi vouchers, unfortunately not enough. And so we find ourselves on the curb outside the front of the airport, and about 6 or 7 taxi cab drivers physically fighting over us, angry, yelling, screaming in different languages. I felt like we were already overseas, but we weren't. Finally, one taxi cab driver kind of comes through the crowd, rescues us, shows us an incredible act of hospitality. He says, listen, I'll figure this out. Come with me. He was, we find out later, from Iraq. He takes us to the hotel along with a couple other of his taxi cab drivers. We get to the hotel, we sleep, and then he takes us back. And on the way back, we have this open and honest dialogue with him. It was powerful. It was beautiful. He shares where he's from. He shares that he was trying to be, he's over here with his mother and trying to protect his mother and provide for his mother. His mother ends up dying. It was this whole crazy story. I was assuming, I didn't straight up ask, but assuming he was a devout Muslim. And so at the end, I'm thinking to myself, I want to pray for this guy. But what's, like, just like Paul is about to experience, we'll see in just a minute, I'm like, what is this guy going to say when I want to pray? What if he's like this, he's offended or he, it was amazing. I asked if we could pray for him on the way as we were entering into the airport. We prayed with him in the taxi cab, and it was incredible. He said, you guys must be doing something very incredible for God in order for him to put me in your path. It was powerful. It was amazing. And it was, none of it was planned. And it was just because we were open. And so it was cool. I still have his text. I texted him last week. And because we exchanged numbers because we needed to. It's amazing. That's the way God works. And I got a couple other stories I'll share in a bit as well. But back to our story. Paul and his team end up in Macedonia. They go to the city called Philippi. And it's this Roman colony, which was in a pretty strategic location. And so at this point, Christianity had not yet moved up there. But there were still God-fearing Jews that people would come together in places and pray. And so there weren't official places to pray. There weren't temples or synagogues, but there were these things called prosuksas, which I may be mispronouncing, but they were places of prayer in which God-fearers could go to pray. And so Paul and his companions tried to find one of these, and they end up finding one on a riverbank outside the city. And they go there on the Jewish Sabbath, which would be our Saturday. And we find them interacting with this group of women. Let's see what happens in verses 13 and 14. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, and she was a worshiper of God. So because Paul had an open mind and an open heart to God's new direction and a new leading, he finds himself in front of a new group of people, and he has an open heart, and he opens his heart to the women. Now, this wasn't probably too contrary for what he would naturally do. He was probably extroverted. He was always wanting to share the good news of Jesus Christ and what he had done for all of humanity. And so he finds himself doing that, but he's also breaking down some cultural barriers as well. Very similar to Jesus and the woman at the well, as he interacts with this foreign Samaritan who they're not supposed to associate with, and he interacts with a woman, something else he wasn't supposed to do. We see Paul sort of mirroring that in this moment here as he engages with these foreign women. And so we see all of this take place, but throughout this, through his open heart to a new place and his open heart to a new people, he shares with them what Jesus Christ had done for them. And so these women already praying, already sort of ripe and ready to hear the what Jesus has done, Paul describes to them the person of Jesus, the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the fact that this individual, Jesus Christ, God's son, the God that you are praying to now, sent his one and only son down on earth so he would die for you, for these women, so they could experience eternal life. So they wouldn't have to experience the punishment that all of humanity deserved. Jesus took that upon his shoulders, defeated it, died, defeated death, rose again, ascended into heaven, and left his spirit, which is now literally the spirit that is directing Paul to these very women. And so he shares this with them because he is open-minded to them. I think that's a large part of hospitality, being open to share and communicate and smile and have conversations with people who may be strangers to us. The Lord offered them forgiveness for their sins, hope in the face of death, and purpose for their lives into eternity. When you and I love and follow Jesus, we become a part of God's work and plan, restoring, helping to restore his broken creation. It begins right here. It begins right now. So first, Paul opens his heart to God and God's leading. Then he opens his heart to these God seekers. And then we see Lydia open her heart to God. Lydia opens her heart to God. We see this in verse 14 and 15. Again, it says that Lydia was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Then she and the members of her household were baptized. Because Paul was willing to even engage with these women, because he was willing to even have an interaction with them, they were willing to hear what he had to say. Another brief example I want to share with you that I'm just excited to see how God worked is recently, about a month or two ago, Camden, my son, was working at Tim Hortons, and he struck up a conversation and a relationship with this younger man that worked there who had struggled through some alcohol issues and some drug issues and some homelessness, and they just started having a conversation. Camden was open with his faith, and just as this kid would ask, he shared about his trip to Africa, and this young man was super interested in it. So they kind of just struck up a friendship, and it was pretty cool to see. And then things sort of started getting kind of shady for this guy. And one day he needed a ride home, and Camden texted me, and he's like, "Hey, can you bring this individual home? He needs a ride, and otherwise he's got to walk like a far away, long way away." So I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I'll go bring him home." And so I show up, I get in there, and we're leaving, and he's like, "Hey, on the way, can we talk about God?" I'm like, "Well, that doesn't ever happen. How many people just come up to you and say, hey, can we talk about God?" But Camden was like honest with who he was. He was honest with what I did. And so we had a conversation. It was amazing. And then following that, he ends up coming to church that weekend as one of our families here in the church, Mike and Linda Connors. And I asked if I could talk about this. Mike and Linda Connors went and picked him up in Hamburg, brought him to church. He ended up meeting with Camden and John, our lightsaber John, friend with a beard. And they have a conversation. He sat through the church service, and then Mike and Linda invited him and I over for a meal later that week. And we just practiced hospitality in its simplest of forms. And after dinner that night, I took him back home. And on the way home, we had a conversation, and he received Jesus to be his savior. And it was incredible. Yeah. But it wasn't because of anything like, it was just simply acknowledging him as a person. And several of those conversations, many times he would say, "Why are you being so nice to me? Why are you even like this?" He would tell me, like, "I would always enjoy when you come through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons because I know you're not going to yell at me or be upset with me for anything I've done." I mean, seriously, I don't know. My son would know. I mean, people must come through that place and just be jerks. But I'm just simply I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm just being kind, and that can go so far. He would say, "You and the Connors and Camden and John and all these people, they see the best in me, but everybody else, all they see is the worst in me." And it's just this, how can you open a door any wider to be like, that's because Jesus has done this for me and I just want to reflect that to you. It's simple. Hospitality can be a catalyst, a very simple catalyst into natural, organic conversations. And so we were able to see that take place. It was beautiful. It was powerful. He has since now moved down south. He's trying to get into a program for alcohol and abuse. He's had a couple setbacks already. He's probably going to have some more setbacks, but he continues to communicate with us. He continues to text with us. He continues to acknowledge that we were a significant part of his journey and his faith. Not that we did anything right or perfect. It was the Holy Spirit, just like the Holy Spirit was working through the Apostle Paul and his people to take him to a new people in a new area. The Holy Spirit was just simply working through us to bring us in touch with him and just to simply acknowledge him, to say hi, to smile, and to look at him as a human being. And that's all it took. And so it's similar back to the story we're in today. As these women become open to hearing from Paul because he was first and foremost open to having an interaction with them. This woman has this riverside conversation with Paul, who's a complete stranger. She's a successful businesswoman and she chooses to follow Jesus, a Jewish rabbi who she's never heard of or met until this moment. And then when Lydia accepts the good news of Jesus, her household follows her into her faith and they were baptized right there together in the river. All because Paul first opened his heart to God, opened his heart to these women, and then through that, Lydia opened her heart to God. It's important for us to see where hospitality begins. It begins at the core of who we are. It just begins at the core. That's why we're explaining this series as the core, because these should be at the core of who we are. Yes, it's the core of who we are as Revive, but hopefully many of these values can become your values and the core of who you are as well. But it doesn't stay at the core. It doesn't stay at the center. Because as we are filled with the love of Jesus Christ, it then overflows to those around us. Is the love of God spilling out of you onto the people around you? Ask yourself that question in this moment. And it may be in very small ways, and you may not even realize it's happening. With this individual from Tim Hortons, I didn't even realize it was happening. He would tell me these things, and I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just was being me. But it was spilling out over and I didn't even realize it. That's the power of the Spirit, because he takes things that we do on a natural and organic basis and uses them in an exponential way far greater. So is the love of God spilling out on you to the people around you? We see Paul say this again to the church of Thessalonica. He says in 1 Thessalonians 3:11 through 13, this is the Message paraphrase. He says, may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you. May the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you. What an incredible visual image that is. That's what happens when the love of God has filled our life so much that it begins to overflow and spill on to those around us. That is the plan. That is what Jesus wants us to do with our lives. When we experience the love of God in Christ, it splashes over on everyone around us. So then we see this kind of come full circle as lastly, Lydia opens her home to Paul and his team. She's first given she experiences hospitality and then she extends it to Paul and his companions. We see this in verse 15. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. What a beautiful act of hospitality. She has embraced the good news of the Lord Jesus. She has been baptized as a symbol of her new relationship and now filled with the love, overflowing from her heart and mind, she opens her home to Paul and his team. They began as strangers, but now they are family. This is beautiful. It's wonderful. And this is what God wants us to experience. When we experience the love of God in Christ, it changes how we see and react to other people. It just simply does. It should. When you and I realize the weight of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, it should change the way we look at other people. When we realize that we are broken and imperfect, yet Jesus still died for us, it should allow us to look at other people that the world looks at as too far gone or not worth the time in a different light, in a different mentality. When we open our minds to others, even if they're not like us, when we smile, when we engage with others in conversation, it gives joy to the Lord. We open our hearts and our homes to others. This is the essence of hospitality. One more time, the way we reward it is we welcome anyone into our church, homes, and hearts. I think the funny thing is oftentimes we think of hospitality, and maybe we have this image in our minds, right? This is what we think of. We're like, I can't be hospitable because I have to do this. You have a perfect home. It's clean as a whistle. It's decorated and furnished in a professional way, and right now it smells like fall, right? And you invite someone over for a 5-course dinner filled with absolutely incredible conversation. Your guests stay the perfect length of time. And then thank you profusely and they go home. That's what we think maybe hospitality should look like. But I think it's a whole lot bigger than that, right? And some of you in here may be so hospitable that describes the way you welcome people into your home. And that is fantastic. But that is not the way it's going to happen at my house. I mean, my wife is fantastic, but she wouldn't even want to do any of this. Here's what hospitality looks like at my house. We invite somebody over for a Bills game. We got pizza and wings. Maybe we're sitting outside around a fire. We're doing something. It's just super casual. I'm on the ground in a fetal position during a Bills play. This is what you're going to experience for hospitality in my house. So it can look like anything. The point is this. It's just simply engaging with people. It's just engaging with people from the heart. Maybe it looks more like this in the context of this room. Introducing yourself to somebody at church that you don't know. Maybe they sit next to you, you smile, you turn, and you introduce yourself to them. I've seen many of you do this, and it's encouraging. It also gives me so much encouragement to know that it's not like all on my shoulders to learn and figure out who everybody in here is. I absolutely want to, but we are a family doing this together, and I love it when you all engage with somebody else, and then you like bring them up to me and like, hey, I just met so-and-so and such, and they're from here. You guys often do that, and it's amazing, and I'm so excited to be a part of a congregation that I see get it a lot of times, so thank you. But it's simple. It can be that simple. It could be meeting somebody for a cup of coffee, not at your house. Maybe you think to yourself, my house is a disaster. It's filthy. There's no way that anybody's ever coming to my house. So therefore, I can't be hospitable. Just like last week, we said being wealthy is not a prerequisite to being generous. Having a perfect home and being able to provide a perfect 5-course meal is not a prerequisite to being hospitable. It can be simple acts of engagement, of smiling, of just being intentional with the relationships around you. It could be having a conversation with somebody you just met, maybe at school or at work or at the post office or at the grocery store. I don't know. Just acknowledging their presence, saying hi, and smiling. These are simple things that we can all do. This is the heart of hospitality. So in summary, as we've been talking about Paul opening his heart and mind to a new place and a new people and then these people opening their heart to him, I just want to encourage you this moment to open your heart and mind to God. Where does he want to lead you? What places does he want to take you? And it may just be across the street or across the lunchroom or across the break room. Open your heart and mind to other people. Other individuals that maybe you wouldn't naturally go reach out and seek out, and then find simple ways to be hospitable. One of the prerequisites, I will say, if you want to talk about prerequisites, that's a fun word, is being available. If you're so busy and you're so consumed with everything that you have to do, but you have not left any room for yourself to be available to even engage with somebody, it makes hospitality very difficult. So in just a minute, we're going to sing a song called Available. The idea behind this song is that, Lord, even in the midst of our brokenness, even in the midst of our imperfections, we want to be available to your leading. Wherever and whoever you want to take us to, would you make me available? And so as we sing this next song, I'm going to ask you to remain seated at the beginning of the song. This was a powerful moment at the last service, and I'm hoping that it will be in this one as well. We're going to remain seated, and as the band sings the song, just listen to the lyrics, allow them to wash over you, sing along if you like, and then when you feel ready, when you feel right, when you feel God calling you, and he's calling all of us to be hospitable in some way, shape, or form, I would just encourage you to either stand, to raise your hands. You're free to come to the front, come to the altar. We don't often say that, but it is open, it is here. It's a safe place to just engage with the Lord. And so maybe there's areas in your life in which you've had walls up or guards up, or you're so busy and crazy and chaotic that you have no margin or time or in your life to even be available. And maybe in this moment, this can just be a physical way in which you say, God, I wanna be available. I wanna be available to be hospitable to those around me. Show me how I can do that in even the simplest of ways. Maybe it's just a smile or a hello. It doesn't have to be an overwhelming task. God can use you in powerful ways. And as we've talked about, the Holy Spirit will take your efforts and multiply them in ways that you'll never know until you get to meet Jesus face to face in eternity. So I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna stay seated, and then as the song continues, when the moment is right, either raise your hand, stand up, come to the front, and acknowledge that you wanna be available to the Lord's leading in your life. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you have made yourself available to us in the greatest of all ways by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to break the barrier between humanity and God the Father. So we can come to you with anything, whenever and however and wherever we are. Lord, allow us to reflect that in those who we come in contact with each and every day. Lord, if we have accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, allow your love to overflow and splash out to the people around us in the simplest of ways as we continue to engage with your people and those who do not yet know you each and every day we walk this earth. God, we love you, we praise you, and we ask that you would truly give us a heart of hospitality as we make ourselves available for you each and every day of our lives. God, we love you and praise you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Remain seated, listen to these lyrics, and as you feel, stand, raise your hand, come to the front in physical declaration that you want to be available to the Lord and what he wants to do in your life.